The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are back, and we appreciate you being here. Busy show, so much conversation about LSU, Tennessee, and many other stories that we're following. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Steve in Kentucky. Hello, Steve.
Paul, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your show.
Appreciate you calling.
You've given a lot of years to your writing and for us and your broadcasting, and it's truly appreciated. But I'd like to take umbrage, please, with the article in The Athletic. I just don't understand, as Keith from Texas mentioned, how y'all can just jump on a man who we don't know if this actually occurred or not. At least I don't. I haven't read anything where Coach stated that this did in fact occur. I don't know if there's any video with sound to document what the young man alleged on your show. I don't know if that woman was deposed. And for the author of the article, to state that three or four people had told him this, and he doesn't know that for a fact,
Well, Steve, let me say this.
Yes, sir.
I was not when I read something in a national publication, I expect the writer of that article to stand by what he wrote, and I will be more than honest about telling you I was surprised when Brody Miller. I'm trying to remember what he said. I think he said, "We're not trying. I don't want to slander anybody." I mean, he's the one who wrote it. I didn't. I read it. But I will also say this: he's not the only person who has written similar things. Now, he's the only person who wrote the story, wrote about the situation that occurred allegedly at the gas station.
Understood. And with all due respect, Paul, just because several people say that it's occurred doesn't mean that it has.
No, but Steve, let me say this to you. You're never going to get the print. There's not going to be a lawsuit here. So when a reporter writes something like that, he has to have substantiated it to the fulfillment of his editor's needs, and that's really it. There's a standard in journalism. I don't need to give a class here, and when I've written some scary stuff before, and when I have, I had to be able to support it with usually multiple sources.
Absolutely, Paul, and those of us who've been around just a little bit recall what happened in Madison County, Huntsville, Alabama, and that's not the issue.
Well, I'm trying to understand what you mean by that. I mean, I know Madison County well, but I spent a lot of time up there. I will say that.
And you were vindicated, were you not?
I sure was. Yes.
Well, absolutely. That's my point.
Oh, okay.
You made your statement, and you backed it up. And it was fantastic.
You know, in that particular case, not to relitigate it, we had two sources who not only told us, but they swore to their statements in the presence of their attorneys.
Absolutely. And my question is, did the woman who made the accusation to her husband do the same?
No, there's no way she did.
And if that's the case, that's fine. If not,
no, I can tell you right now, based on what I heard, But you're right. I will never tell anybody what to write or say. But you know, when I read that and when we booked him, I fully expected him to. It was almost like he didn't want to talk about that anymore.
You're exactly right, sir. At least in my humble opinion.
Well,
and you're well read, Paul. You remember the story of Potiphar's wife? That's not that far off, in my opinion.
But see, listen, thank you so but much. I don't think we need to isolate the entire Ed Orgeron situation on this one story that allegedly happened at a gas station. No crimes were committed. All that story was indicating was how his behavior began to filter to the higher levels of LSU administration. But I'll also tell you that if he had gone 8-2 last year and was 6-0 right now, we wouldn't be having these conversations. These things are only convenient when a coach starts to lose. But everyone knows that already. Daryl is up next.
Oh, you do a fabulous job as a sports host, okay, for ESPN. But I think you missed your calling. I really do. You know what I think you should have been and what you would have been great at? Probably the best ever. You should have been an attorney, Paul. You would have worked all the high-profile cases in this country. You should have been an attorney because you would have been a damn good one. I mean, a damn good one.
Thank you.
Hey, let me say this about the Tennessee deal, okay? First of all, Tennessee, I mean, I know they ain't had a big win over in part in a while, but there ain't more. The bigger issues is the quarterback. I mean, that their starting quarterback just make time just milk off the clock like he had all day, and then your backup come out there and he looked clueless. I mean, he's got to throw that football on his own at the end, at least give your team a chance to win. And I was hoping Tennessee would pull it out. But don't you think it's time for college football? I mean, players can get paid now. All the big money that the schools make, all the big money that the coaches make. Isn't it time, ECAA, that we go to full-time officiating, pay these officials, we go to full-time? That's the only thing left that hasn't been done that needs to be done to bring it up to par to where it's at right now, in my opinion. And Paul, there's only two types of coaches that go to Florida, okay? Those that quit. Those that get fired. I mean, a year ago they were screaming how great the mother name was. I don't want to hear all that whining from them. We got something for them, okay? We had them circled on the calendar long before this season started. That's the ones that we want right there. We got something for them. And hey, I just want to make sure there still is a football team in Alabama, right? In Tuscaloosa.
They went into Starkville, not Oxford. They went into Starkville the other day and pretty well shut down the air raid.
I just wanted to make sure because it seems like, like game day's been in the FS twice. I mean, we know who number is. All right, Georgia has become the new Alabama. I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? Georgia's not Alabama until Georgia beats Alabama. And I think we'll get that opportunity. But until that happens, Bama, you're still number one in my book. See you all.
Matt is up next in Texas. Hey, Matt.
What's up, my brother, Paul? Look, I'm sorry I haven't called the show lately. I've been sick, Paul, and I'm starting to get better now. But I agree with everybody that said that on the show. Paul, you should have been an attorney. You've been a good one. But honestly, you found your calling, what you're doing now, Paul, and you're really good at it. And I've always appreciated your kindness for that, Paul.
Well, Matt, I rather like what I'm doing. I have too many friends who were attorneys that are no longer practicing.
I get it. Well, I want to talk about the Jimbo Fisher, how he made that comment. He's not interested in LSU. He wants to stay at Texas A&M. I just think people will stop talking about him going to LSU. He already put it to rest. So I'm happy he did that because, honestly, it would have affected him in recruiting if he didn't do that. And I want to...
Well, no, and I think he put it to bed. I don't know what else he could have said. He went on for a couple of minutes. But that's what you have to do. And I never thought it was realistic that
me either, Paul. LSU can't afford Jimbo Fisher.
Well,
and I want to talk one more thing about Jim Tuscaloosa. Jim, you ain't the future no more. Get this through your fixed skull head. You're a numbskull. You're an idiot. You're a hack and you're a has-been. You're always going to be that way. Go back to Fox where you belong. And go talk politics. You know, dilly squat about football, buddy. Because, you know, you ain't the future no more. You're a hack and you're a has-been. Paul, I got to say to Jim from Tuscaloosa who called me out yesterday or the other day. I can't remember what day. And I got one question.
Hold on, because he may be the next guy. What did you say again about Jim from Tuscaloosa?
He's a hack. He's a has-been.
Okay. We'll see if he wants to come on. We'll see if he wants to answer that. Is Jim there or not? I can't tell because he's always too busy talking to the producers. But anyway, we... Let's see where we're going next. How about Susan next? Hey, Susan, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
The Tennessee game, I got to say, I'm feeling real good about the direction our Vols are going in on the field. I love the coach. I love this team. They don't give up. There's some stuff we can work on, but I think I've drunk the hypo Kool-Aid. I'm happy.
I'm glad to hear that. Thanks so much for the call. Tony is up next. Hey, Tony, go right ahead.
Well, good afternoon, Paul. I sure enjoyed meeting you last Friday afternoon. It was nice talking to you.
That was my pleasure. It was great to see you, all of your whole crowd there.
There you go. I had a point I wanted to make. I got to thinking we were in one of the places there, one of the establishments, and we were talking about football, Georgia football, and everybody else as we do. We got to talk about team chemistry, and a thought came across my head, and I told a guy, I said, you know what team chemistry is? I said, it's a coach in every player dorm room 24/7. When you have that great team chemistry, it changes everything. And I think if I want to tell legend just to calm down, because that game they lost to Texas A&M did more for their team than he will ever imagine, because now when we've sort of punched our ticket to the game in Atlanta. You know, the West is a little bit more confused, but I think Alabama's going to show up there. But I think they're going to show up a much better team than they started out, Paul.
Well, that's to be determined, and I say that only because they have had bounce-back games, and then they've led up again. So I want to see what they're all about on a consistent basis. Great to see you again, Tony. Thank you. We're heading to a break. We have a long way to go. Greg McElroy about an hour from now. Many other guests along the way, and we are off and running here on a Monday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back here on a Monday, and Andre is up next. What do you say, Andre?
Coach Paul Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call, Coach.
Thank you, Andre.
You know, listen, me and you knew this was coming with Coach O. We didn't want it to, but, you know, just like the rest of us, he struggled with his own personal demons in his life, just like each and every one of us do. And I wish him nothing but the best. Hey, man, you know, it's a hard job, Coach. And I personally, even if he didn't have all of this in his personal life, he still would have been fired, Coach, simply on the record of the last 2 years. The LSU wasn't going to let this go on much longer. And the same thing is going to happen down in Florida if Dan Mullen doesn't turn this thing around. Who are you hearing, Coach? What names are you hearing that you think they have a legitimate shot at?
Well, I don't think any name has surfaced yet that I would put a lot of money on. The Jimbo thing was just a ruse. It's hard to imagine that happening. So, you know, then where do you go? I don't believe the Franklin story. I do believe Mel Tucker will get serious consideration. I mean, Napier's name is always mentioned. Many people have believed he has been holding out for this job. But I think we're just throwing names up against the wall. To me, Lane Kiffin seems like a long shot.
Coach, you know, Lane Kiffin has been given way, way, way too much in his lifetime. Way too much, Coach. there are coaches that go three lifetimes and don't get half the opportunities that Lane Kiffin has had. I know it, and you know it. But the main thing is they have to be a dynamic recruiter. LSU is hurting on the defensive line, the offensive line, and the linebacker position.
Who would you hire, Andre?
I don't know, Coach, but whoever it is, they're going to have to be a dynamic recruiter, and it's going to have to be somebody that's young, like Lincoln Riley, somebody that's very intelligent.
But give me a reason. I heard what Brody said. I mean, Scott Woodward can talk a big game about getting Dabo and Lincoln Riley to turn him down, but you know what? They're both going to turn him down because they have better
jobs.
They're
both going to turn him down, right. So why even waste your time barking up that
tree? Well,
you're
not going to waste your time with those guys because you already know, and it takes one phone call to their agent, and the answer is no. So you have to be realistic. Who is a realistic candidate for what is a great job? And I don't think we know that answer yet.
Well, I heard Mel Tucker, that would be a realistic. I even heard earlier this morning they shot out there Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly is a really good football coach, but he wouldn't last 5 minutes in that culture.
No, and plus, he's got more good days behind him than he does ahead of him.
Of course. There's no reason for him to go anywhere. I mean, he could parallel into the NFL, but he's not going. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, Andre. But you just can't land in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and you better understand the culture and the area, and that's why so many people today are heartbroken over Coach O leaving because they loved him. Saban was not a native of that area, but he adapted very well. He was very smart. Les Miles was a clown, we all know that, but for quite a few years he put a great product on the field because he recruited well. By the way, Andre, is it hard to recruit to LSU? I don't think so.
No, it's not hard. But you know what, Coach? You have to understand the culture of South Louisiana, the Zydeco music.
Yes, of course.
Zydeco dancing. You got to understand the difference between Cajun and Creole and the difference between counties and parishes and everything. You have to understand that. And if you don't, you're not going to make it down there, Coach. You're just not. So,
Ogeron understood all that, but he was a terrible CEO. Dave Aranda, I think, held it together a couple of years ago. Joe Brady just was magic in a bottle or lightning in a bottle. But, when you think about the fact that three straight coaches down there have won a national title, I think Miami has had three different coaches to win a national title, but I don't believe they were successive. Somebody could look it up. I mean, the idea that you can get, Notre Dame maybe in the past you could win a title with three consecutive coaches, but I don't know anywhere else recently where that is possible. Let's check in with Richard in Texas. Hey, Richard, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Quite well, thank you.
You know, I normally enjoy your show. I listen to it most of the time, but I have not enjoyed it today. Now, one thing I've learned about the media, Brody Miller, and you're part of the media too, when y'all get a man down, boy, you put your foot on their neck and you bury them two or three times. And that's what you're doing to Orgeron. I don't appreciate that. I have no dog in this hunt. I live in Texas. But I'm just disappointed in you, and I'm disappointed in some other people in the media, too. He got fired because he didn't win enough ball games at LSU. He got fired because he didn't keep the standard that LSU demands, and that's why he got fired. And for you to bring all these other things up, I mean, everybody has skeletons in their closet. And, Paul, one day they're going to fire you, and I hope they open up your closet.
Richard, let me say this.
If I can hang up.
You can hang up all you want, but I'm not currently sitting there as a defendant in a Title IX lawsuit. So when they fire me, whether it's today or next week or next month or next year or 5 years from now, they probably won't have that. So don't tell me that the media is out to get Ed Ogeron. Where do you think the media gets this information from? Seriously, Where do you think the media who reported all this yesterday, who do you think fed the media a lot of this stuff? Just think about that for a second. The media isn't able just to go ascertain information like this. There was a group working against Coach O down there, and I think that's pretty self-explanatory. So I understand very well the hatred of the media, and I'm not going to sit here and defend the media because I don't really care what anyone thinks of the media. I think the media, you know, can often be a bunch of clowns too. Whether it's political or anything else, I see bias across the board. But there are a lot of reasons why this conversation has been going on. And yes, it's primarily about what happens on the field, but there are some gray areas. And when you have a university that is going through what that university is currently going through, don't think off the field issues don't matter. Don't think that personal indiscretions don't matter. They do. And I say that as someone who is a fan, but also who spends a lot of time visiting with high-ranking collegiate officials who don't always see things the same way as those in the upper deck. We'll take a break. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you here. Frank is up next in Queens. How are you, Frank?
Hi, how are you? I don't know if I trust the media, this, that. I mean, I do trust journalists, though. Certain journalists, and you're one journalist, Paul, that I trust.
Thank you.
I don't know what's going on with these guys from Texas, but I was calling up for some other guy from Fort Worth who's trying to get you to say, like, this is hearsay, you stab in the neck of a man, whatever they say in Texas, whatever nonsense they say in Texas, stab in the neck a man when he's down, whatever. It wasn't hearsay because you have done your due diligence over the years, and you knew it was true. That's why you asked that question, you know, Paul? So I appreciate that. I really
do. Thank
you.
I
will say that, just to toot my own horn for a couple of seconds, a couple of weeks ago, I said Coach O was nothing. It was over. And I didn't know he walked around Baton Rouge like a Saziz playing grabsy with all the secretary. I didn't know that, you know? But that certainly does not help when a coach is not winning games, you know? So I just really appreciate you as a journalist and your interviewing of that young kid today. That was good reporting by that kid, you know? It really was, Paul. It was good reporting.
Frank, thank you very much. Great to have you on. Let's check in with CJ is in Virginia. CJ, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. I want to talk about the future, but I got to see some of these other callers. Give me a break talking about how, you can't say stuff about Coach O, blah, blah, blah. We got pictures of him with girls not a half his age, a third of his age. And what does that do to recruiting, okay? I mean, it doesn't matter now because he's gone. But, you know, all these other coaches, like Nick Saban, like I showed, you know, a grandmother or mother picture. Is this who you want your son playing for? Coach O may have been a great recruiter, but those days are over. All this stuff, it is true. And, I mean, it's not the wins and losses. It's the product on the field. It's a symptom. You know, they're saying, well, we wouldn't be having this talk if Coach O was winning. True. But why is he not winning? Because when you're spending all your time and energy doing all this other stuff, you're not doing the 24/7. You know, ask the great coaches how much effort and focus it takes to win in the SEC West alone. So anyway, I wanted to say that, you know, it's ridiculous. So anyway, you know,
CJ, if I could offer one more thing, and again, sure. You know, it's incumbent upon us to try to know everything about a situation or as much as you can. I understand most of you have never heard any of this stuff, and we interviewed one writer. He's not the only one. There are countless other media people who are disseminating
Definitely.
Similar information. And it's a part, I think people have, and we paid a lot of attention to it here because it seemed like it was systemic. But that Title IX issue is another big factor here. When you're an institution yeah. like LSU and you're going down this rather dark and dangerous road, you don't need the face of your program to be included in any outside noise.
Yes, yes. And I mean, the girls he's with, it's legal. They're over 18, but not by much. So at best, it's creepy. Like I've heard some women say, it's creepy at best. But anyway, we can put the Coach O era is done. You know, and I hate it that it went down this way. But like I said from the beginning when I called you like a month or so ago, he didn't handle success well. And I thought the interview you had with the columnist, I mean, I think he was right on. He didn't handle it well. And I thought so from the beginning, unfortunately. But looking to the future, one thing that hasn't been – you did mention Mel Tucker, and that could be a definite – you know, the president, he's – from what I understand, he's really interjecting himself into this, which I'm
– Well, remember, the
really
president just recently moved there. He was the provost at South Carolina. And he left, and there was some concern that he was going to come back after the former president at South Carolina was dismissed. And, the president has every right to inject himself into this conversation. He's the head of the university.
Yeah, I know. A lot of us really wish he would just leave Scott Woodward alone and let him, you know, we need to hire the best man for the job available. Okay, the best.
True.
It doesn't matter the color of his skin or anything, but he's wanting to maybe make a statement, and that's fine. If everything, you know, I don't care what I do not care, and most of us do not care the color of his skin, as long as he is a winner and a good person. And when you have these, when you say, well, you can only hire someone who's black. It really limits the pool.
No,
I
agree. CJ, listen, and for those who don't know, President Tate is African American. I don't think that's a surprise. That's not the issue here, though. The issue is conducting a thorough search, and Scott Woodward will do that. And by the way, Mel Tucker is well thought of. He was Nick Saban's assistant down there. He's a great recruiter. He's been at Alabama. He's been at Georgia, Colorado. He's doing a phenomenal job at Michigan State right now. But that doesn't mean he's just one. He's a candidate, according to the media and nobody else. Let's check in with Maurice in Texas. Hello, Maurice. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? This is Maurice here from Killeen, Texas here. I really want to set the record straight when it comes to Texas. I will tell you that I'm a huge fan of yours. Aside of that, you're one of the only ones that actually went face-to-face with Saban and basically pretty much put Nick Saban in his place. I will say that. When it comes to Ed Orgeron and your comments and everyone's comments about how the media keeps on his neck, people need to go back and look at your history and look at the fact of the stories that you have broken out. And may these coaches really man up and really understand exactly who they really are. No matter what happens, when you're the face of an organization, you have got to be the number one guy, and you cannot falter when it comes to leadership. So I wanted to set the record straight here with Texas because I really truly believe that it's not the media, it's the absence of the coaches that are in these positions that think that they're bigger than what the organization is.
Maurice, thank you very much for that call. And I'm glad to hear from you. Let's take a quick break. More to come as we continue.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show, presented by Regions.
And welcome back. And when you woke up this morning, it felt cold, at least where I was, which means one thing. The football season's at the midpoint, and it's time for the build-up to basketball for the Southeastern Conference. And it is just around the corner. And joining us, Coach Kyra Elzey from the University of Kentucky. And Coach, I know we're really excited. I know it's you had a nice little entrance as we said hello to you, but it was nothing quite like the entrance the other night, which everyone is still talking about virally, about what happened at Big Blue Midnight Madness. Tell us all about it.
Well, you know, Coach Mitchell has set such a tradition of dancing when he came out for Big Blue Madness, and I felt like I needed to go big or go home. But needed to separate myself from what he always would do. So what better way than come out of the rafters of Rupp Arena?
Felt like I was watching a Cirque du Soleil in Vegas. I mean, by the way, I know you're an athlete, and I want to talk about that in a minute. It looks like the little one got into the action, too.
You know, I asked him on Tuesday if he wanted to join me. And he told me he would, but it would cost me $40.16. I don't know where he got that number, but he wanted to buy some poppets. So he charged me a lot of money for a cameo.
I like kids nowadays charging parents for to help them out. Well, it's great to have you. All kidding aside, and I know the basketball season is knocking hard on the door. Last year went pretty well. How do you feel, and what are you looking forward to the most as we get ready for the tip-off?
Well, it's an exciting time. Basketball season's here. We have a very talented team. I'm surrounded by an amazing staff, and we have unfinished business. So it's back to work, and we are ready to go.
Let's talk a little bit about your team, because certainly you know, and before we wrap up, I want to talk about your own career. But you know, to put the right pieces together, sometimes it does take time. But I think this program seems like it's I don't know, ahead of schedule, but it's certainly moving fairly well. Tell us about your team.
Yeah, we're moving in the right direction. Obviously, Ryan Howard is the best player in the country, and we're blessed to have her in Big Blue Nation. But we have a support staff. Dreanna Edwards is playing unbelievable. Blair Green, who is a senior for us, and Jasmine Massengale has just really stepped up in that point guard position.
When you have a player with such talent, I know it's a blessing, but you also have to make sure the chemistry works. How are you, I know you're going to do it, but how do you make sure that works perfectly?
Well, the great thing about Ryan, she wants to be a leader. Her teammates love her. She practices really hard, and she wants to be the best. And the players really respect what she can do on the court, but she also knows that she cannot do it alone, and that she needs her teammates to step up and carry the load in a game as well. So it takes everyone. So basketball is a team sport for a reason.
Coach, I know it's not supposed to, you're not supposed to talk about Tennessee while you're wearing Big Blue, but I can't let your I can't let your career under playing for Pat Summitt go by unnoticed. And I know the folks at Kentucky have noticed it, and everybody respects and reveres Coach Summitt, but that was another place where, I mean, you were a great player, but you were surrounded. I mean, you had to go deep. You had to go out the door to not to find great players on that bench. What was it like?
You know, it was a phenomenal experience, and you really didn't truly appreciate what you had playing for a legendary coach like Coach Summitt, the talent we were surrounded with, the Meeks, Shamequa Hosclaw, Tamika Catchings, Samika Randall. And when you look back on those teams, we were talented from top to bottom. And we were playing positionless basketball before it really was a thing. And I think the Tennessee Day showed you that you could have talent and win, and that every body is vital to the success of the program.
You know, it's so interesting. I remember, I think it was last spring, maybe early summer, we had a chance to talk to Candace Parker. I talked to Tamika, one of your teammates, not long ago. I ran into she and her husband. And no matter where you go and no matter how far you travel, I'm sure throughout all over this country and the world, Pat Summitt's name continues to be discussed. What are your recollections of being around her and being a part of her incredible legacy?
It's truly an honor. And the Lady Vol sisterhood, we are everywhere. We're still close. And that's one thing that Coach wanted us to continue to carry her legacy, which we are honored to do. But, you know, you learn so many things from Coach Summitt. But one of the things that she instilled in us is a toughness, as you can see my shirt today, a resilience, you know, remaining humble, make sure we're paying our blessings forward. And I think that's why you see a lot of former Lady Vols that are successful today, in large part due to Coach Summitt.
Coach Elsie, it's a great pleasure to visit with you again, and all the very, very best this year. I have a feeling the Cats are going to be heard from quite a bit. You be well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Go Cats.
And we're back. Hey, Reggie is up next in Florida. Hello, Reggie. Good afternoon.
Paul, you're killing me, man. You done got Ed O'Fire. Now you're going to be on Mullen, ain't you? He's next, huh?
Why would you say that?
I see your show every day, and you do it over and over again. Let a man get down. You're going to kick as hard as you can.
Listen, I don't have to help Coach Mullen right now.
Well, I wish somebody would, because I remember back whenever he was offensive coordinator under Urban Meyer, people would want to get rid of him then. But I ain't the one that hired him. But I'm a Gator, and I'm going to fight for him as long as I can.
Well, I think that's exactly what you should do. Great to hear from you. John is up next in Huntsville, Alabama. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. We've got a state university. That's state university. It's obvious. So, therefore, the people in the state of Louisiana, their tax dollars, a lot of it goes to that university. Now, when Coach O is the head coach, he probably makes close to $9 million. I don't know what he makes. I know it's substantial. He's killing himself in such a fashion.
Yeah, I tell you what, John, let me get you back on a different line. I felt like I was back in the 70s with rotary phones here, and we'll hook you back up. But thank you very much for the call. Justin is up next in Auburn. Hello, Justin.
Hey, how you going, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I don't know if you remember me, but we had a conversation about midsummer about Harsin, and I told you that I thought he could be Saban-esque and Auburn would go 9-3.
I do remember
now
that.
Now, looking at things, I think there's a possibility we go into the Iron Bowl and the Iron Bowl decides us being 9-3. And I honestly feel like Harsin is probably right there with what I expected. You know, he seems like he's got a team that shouldn't really be where they are, playing really hard, playing good. You know, he's putting them in position to win every week. And I feel like, you know, Penn State could have gone other ways, you know, a few dropped passes, and then obviously the Georgia game. I think there was like 15 dropped passes, so, man, you really can't expect much there. But I was going to see what you thought about him midway through the season.
Yeah, I tell you what, I hear a lot of noise about him, but he has won some game. I mean, the idea of winning in Baton Rouge and Fayetteville in your first season is pretty remarkable for a team that really was not expected to do very well. I mean, it's sometimes it's hard to watch, but I think he's done a really spectacular job so far.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, with the deficiencies on the offensive line and the receiving core, you know, based on what he's got, you know, he's probably overexceeded already, especially going to Baton Rouge and winning. But I feel like, you know, like I said, the Iron Bowl, I feel like that could be the deciding factor of the West this year.
Well, no,
I feel like at home, Auburn's going to have a good chance.
If you're looking for a blueprint to beat Alabama, a hostile crowd, and you can't do any better than Jordan-Hare, a team that can move the ball, and a quarterback that's hot, and Bo Nix is streaky, but he can be very hot. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are back with two more hours right after this.